Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yam Maya Chishtitam Pumsa. Stitipatya Upyaya Hi. Anugrahastan Nivritair. Atmalabhaya Chesyate. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Text 58. Yanmaya chistitam pumsa. Shtiti utpatya upiyayahi. Anugrahastan nivritair. Atmalabhaya chesyate.
Yat. Whatever.
Whatever.
Maya chastitam. The laws of material nature enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pumsa of the living entities. Shtiti, duration of life. Utpati, birth. Apyayaya, annihilation. He, indeed. Anugraha, compassion. Tat nivrite, the creation and manifestation of cosmic energy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Atmalabhaya, thus going home back to Godhead. Cha, indeed. Ischite, for this purpose, the creation is there. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through His material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation just to deliver the living entity by His compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus He enables the living being to return home back to Godhead. Purport. Materialistic men sometimes ask why God has created the material world for the suffering of the living entities. The material creation is certainly meant for the suffering of the conditioned souls who are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mamaibam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha manasas tanindriyani prakriti stani karsati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are as good as the Lord qualitatively. But quantitatively, there is a great difference between them, for the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. Thus the Lord possesses unlimited potency for pleasure, and the living entities have a limited pleasure potency. Anandamaya Abhyasat, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. Both the Lord and the living entity, being qualitatively spirit soul, have the tendency for peaceful enjoyment. But when the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead unfortunately wants to enjoy independently without Krishna, he is put into the material world, where he begins his life as Brahma, and is gradually degraded to the status of an ant or a worm in stool. This is called mana sastindriyani prakritishtani karsati. There is a great struggle for existence because the living entity, conditioned by material nature, is under nature's full control. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Because of his limited knowledge, however, the living entity thinks he is enjoying in this material world. manasistam dhyani prakritistani karshati. He is actually under the full control of material nature, but still he thinks himself independent. Ahankara vimodatma kartaham iti manyate. Even when he is elevated by speculative knowledge and tries to merge into the existence of Brahman, the same disease continues. Ayu krishtraina paramparam tata patantya ara. Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Even having attained that paramparam, having merged into the impersonal Brahman, he falls again to the material world. In this way, the conditioned soul undergoes a great struggle for existence in this material world, and therefore the Lord, out of compassion for him, appears in this world and instructs him. Thus the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yara yara hi dharmasya galanir bhavati bharata abhyutnam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The real dharma is to surrender unto Krishna, but the rebellious living entity, instead of surrendering to Krishna, engages in adharma, in a struggle for existence to become like Krishna. Therefore, out of compassion, Krishna creates this material world to give the living entity a chance to understand his real position. Bhagavad Gita and similar Vedic literatures are presented so that the living being may understand his relationship with Krishna. Vedaishta Saravera Ahameva Vedya, Bhagavad Gita 15.15. All these Vedic literatures are meant to enable the human being to understand what he is, what his actual position is, and what his relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Brahma Jignasa. Every conditioned soul is struggling, but human life provides the best chance for him to understand his position. Therefore, this verse says, Anugrahastan Navrate, indicating that the false life of repeated birth and death must be stopped, and the conditioned soul should be educated. This is the purpose of the creation. The creation does not arise whimsically as atheistic men think. Asatyam apatishtam te, jagat ahur anishvaram, aparaspara sambhutam, kim anyat kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal, that there is no foundation, and that there is no God in control. It is produced as sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Bhagavad Gita 16.8. Atheistic rascals think that there is no God and that the creation has taken place by chance. Just as a man and woman meet by chance, and the woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a child. Actually, however, this is not the fact. The fact is there is a purpose for this creation, to give the conditioned soul a chance to return to his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and then return home back to Godhead and be completely happy in the spiritual world. In the material world, the conditioned soul is given a chance to satisfy his senses, but at the same time he's informed by Vedic knowledge that this material world is not his actual place of happiness. Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukha Dasanu Darshanam. Bhagavad Gita 13.9. One must stop the repetition of birth and death. Every human being, therefore, should take advantage of this creation, and by understanding Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, and in this way, return home back to Godhead. Om Agyanti Marandasya Jalanjana Shalaga Chakshu Nimitamina Tasme Shri Gurave Ma Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitami Ena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gramayam Dudati Svabaranigam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichinanda Shri Dvedigarar Shri Sadhgur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation repeated. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through his material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, just to deliver the living entity by his compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus, he enables the living being to return home back to Godhead. So, states that Krishna is acting through his material energy. Brahma Samhita 544, Shtiti Shtiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Nachayeva Bhuvanani Babarti Durga. It's Chanarupam Apiyasicha Chetite Sa Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Maya, the external energy of the Lord, is the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people all around the world as Durga, the preserving, creating, maintaining, and annihilating agency of this mundane world. Worship the Lord, Primeval Lord Govinda, by whose will Durga conducts herself. So by the will of Krishna, Durga is conducting herself. So, and how? What is the purpose? Just to deliver the living entity by his compassion. And stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. So Krishna is unlimitedly loving, unlimitedly compassionate, and wants his wayward children, just like if we had a kid and he went astray, got entangled with that next door neighbor's crack house, bad association, gets really messed up, you'd want him back home where he's safe. And Krishna feels the same way. And those that are true representatives of Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, also have the same unlimited love and unlimited compassion. It actually exists in all of our hearts. And as we take the Krishna consciousness properly under the guidance of our spiritual master and authorized authorities, one awakens this love of God, this compassionate nature. You see many living entities fired up, bummed out that they can't preach so well with this present situation, and ready and preparing for when it does clear enough, where it's safe to go out and distribute books or whatever, preaching programs, so that they can be more effective. This is their meditation. This is the meditation of Prabhupada. It's the meditation of Prahlad Maharaj. So many of the great souls. It's a serious concern for Krishna that people have, there's living entities in this material world. We take this material world sometimes not understanding really what it is, right? We get birth, death, disease, and old age. From the highest planet, material world, 8:16. Abhama Muvana Loka, Punarvartanarjana, Mamapeta Dagundayat, Punarjanmana Midite. From the highest planet in material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery when repeated birth and death take place. Those who attain to my abode, O son of Kunti, never take birth again. So, there is a solution to this really radical situation. I once started crawl a few times, but this one I'm very in my memory. Sometimes when a lot of books go out in a short period of time, there's a lot of purification and the consciousness needs time to adjust, or it's just too radical of a shift, of a change of consciousness, a purification of consciousness. And I remember when that happens, I usually take a extra prasadam to chill it out. But this time I couldn't because I was sick or something. And I remember having this experience where I just realized that this material dimension, I would just look at my body, practically freak out, or like have a materialistic idea of the material. I mean, I have an idea of what this, I'm in the material world, I'm in a material body. Oh my God. The acute awareness of this was extremely trying to adjust to and get back into, stable, okay. I got, you apply the intelligence, apply myself appropriately to get the heck out of here. As opposed to maybe before I had that experience, not realizing the extent of the suffering of the conditioned soul. Yes. And thus he enables the living entity to return home back to Godhead. So I'm going to pick through the purport. Materialist men sometimes ask why God has created the material world for the suffering of the living entities. Yeah, if there's a God, why does he have people suffer? But of course, the living entity, we all know this, you know, took his own choice, made his own choice. Prabhupada's guru, he gave a nice story regarding this. It's a fun one. He describes how, like a circus tent comes into a town, is rolling through the towns and the villages of Mayapur or whatever, and sets up a big tent and says, super much fun, you got to pay this amount. And a whole bunch of villagers get in line for this fun experience, they think. And then they go in one at a time. So the first guy goes in there, and he goes, well, you got to pay this much. It's like, that's a lot. All right. Of course, entering the material world, it's not free. Right? We have obligations, debt to the forefathers, parents, the rishis, provided the scriptures, the demigods, unless one surrenders fully to Mukunda, giver of liberation. So so then he says, okay, enter into here. He goes in this kind of dark room, but he can kind of see what's going on. But there's this really big guy there. And he just slaps him around, beats him up a little bit. And says, okay, you exit here. And because he paid a lot of money for this, and he's exiting to where all of his friends are going to see him, and he's really doesn't want to be embarrassed, like, I fell for this. He kind of, you know, dresses his hair and arranges his clothes nicely, you know, and then comes out with kind of like a smile. Like, yeah. Because they're all staring at him. Like, how was it? And he comes out, because he's so embarrassed, he comes out with, you know, I just completely been cheated, like anything. But I don't want my friends to know. So he just comes out like a smile. So the next guy in line goes, oh, must be all right. And this is the material world. This is the experience in the material world. Or with material activities. So the material creation is certainly meant for the suffering of the conditioned souls. Sounds hardcore, but it's just what you get. I forgot the verse, Bengali, I think, where it states that the living entity's natural condition is to be engaged in loving, favorable, devotional service to Krishna. This is the natural position of the living entity. But when he tries to imitate Krishna or take or become Krishna, he is subjected to the miseries, the miseries of this material world. And he's pushed into the material world and is forced to suffer those miseries. Of course, we know the three-rail system, you know, jab of these kleshas. So, miseries inflicted by the demigods, by our own mind and other living entities. Mm-hmm. So, these miseries, if one is not surrendered to Mukunda, the giver of liberation, one is afflicted by at least one or more of these prongs of Durga. And we see it pretty extensively in the material world. You can see my face. You know, I got like a skin cancer. Every 3 years I'd put this chemotherapy cream on my face when a new little skin cancer grows up. It's not serious. It looks worse than it is. But I do this every 3 years. This bump on my head, it's actually not a self-manifesting Lord Jagannath. It's actually a cyst. It's actually not a big deal. It's nothing serious. But I'm kind of. It's an antenna, yeah. It's my connection with the spiritual world. Yes. So, thank you. So, and we all know, you know, just a little. Krishna can create a virus. Krishna can do anything or allow this to happen or that to happen. Unlimited agencies he has to be conducted in this material world. To remind the living entity that this is not your home. Doing this will not make you happy. Trying to be Krishna will not make you happy. Now, today, if anybody were to do this, you don't get such a penalty, but back in the time when Krishna was here, Pondraka, right? He dressed up just like Krishna. He really thought he was Krishna. And he sent a letter to Krishna stating, you give up your false symbols and surrender unto me. And everybody in the assembly hall was cracking up. Krishna says, okay, hey, let's fight. Hey, if you win, I'm happy to surrender to you, but, you know, I'm afraid you're going to become like, you know, a meal for dogs after your body's been obliterated by me. So, you know, Krishna cuts his head off. So, it doesn't work. Back then, of course, if you try to do that now, it would almost be kind of normal. But back then, you know, there was different penalties. Here, just go see Lord Chaitanya, get his mercy, and, you know, chill out. So we see this as a regular basis. Dhanavira Goswami gave a great class. He said that people are walking around just as one identifies with the car they're driving. You hit me. Somebody bumps in you. People are driving around going, I'm a Ford. I'm a Mercedes-Benz. Beep, beep. I'm a Toyota. Beep, beep. Or if you go into like a severe situation like a mental hospital, then you have such situations like George Washington was the founder, first president of the United States. So you have somebody back in 1776 or whatever. You have some guy lined up with a whole bunch of chairs and he thinks he's in the boat going to beat the British. And he's made a nice hat out of whatever. And he's made of something to paddle. And he really thinks he's in the boat going across the river. He really thinks he's George Washington. And he's telling everybody, get in the boat, help out. And some maybe not so strong-willed individuals are in the boat going, okay. And this is what's going on, regular basis. People are identifying the self of the body, completely insane. So at least as aspiring devotees, we should recognize that we have this, maybe not all of you, but most of us, I believe, still have ignorance and this misidentification. And we have to apply the process and not think that this material world is a nice place to be. Or we're just going to delay our process, not only delay it, extend our process in this material world. So I'm going to pick through the purport a little bit. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. I mean, it's a challenging situation. When you get one of these, you know, prison uniforms, you have the materialistic eyes pulling you, and the nose, the senses are pulling you in all different directions, and the mind, if it isn't seriously riveted in the understanding of the science of Krishna, one can deviate from properly applying oneself, and to get from that. Without the knowledge to becoming situated nicely in Krishna consciousness, it's a real struggle. That's why it's important to take shelter of authorized authorities and follow under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. All the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality Godhead and are good as the Lord qualitatively. Before I go into this, I just want to mention some samples of what I've seen with different bhaktas. You know, new ones that haven't read enough of the books or at all the books. I recall one day, one bhakta, he comes up to me and says, I'm an avatar. He was convinced that he's an avatar. At the end of that day, I never saw him again. Saw another one that said, I think I can beat up Mike Tyson. He's a, I don't know if you might know Mike. Mike is a super boxer, winner of, you know, all that stuff. Many years. And that way I'll bring in a lot of the money to the movement, and that's how I want to serve Krishna. He was a small guy. He wasn't a big guy. I'm like, well, maybe you should consult with your authorities and just see if this is a good idea. You know, before you, you know, might waste a lot of your life. You know, maybe not, you know. You know, there's a couple samples of what happens when the mind, when we don't take time out to read Prabhupada's books on a regular basis, not just once. But our conditioned nature is huge. It's, you know, we've got, Prabhupada says we've been here minimum 20 crores of lifetimes. 20 crores of lifetimes. 20 million births, minimum. Trying to play Krishna and imitate him. And here we've read the books for a year or two. You know, repeat readings, because the disease is not totally cured under almost all of our situations. And so the disease might relapse. So, the parts and parcels are as good qualitatively as the Lord, but not quantitatively. The Lord is unlimited. We are limited. The Lord possesses unlimited potency for pleasure, and the living entity have a limited pleasure potency. But we can maximize. Everybody, living entity must be intoxicated, Prabhupada said. So the spiritual intoxication is a smart way to go. And if we truly take to the process, which is basically chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in the association of nice devotees like you all are, and following the regulative principles, 64 of those, you know, seva aparadhas we want to avoid. There is also the 10 nam aparadhas that are more serious that we want to avoid and apply and really focus on this chanting of Hare Krishna. And the great being says if one follows the process, it's easy if you're determined. So, throwing that out there. So, both the Lord and the living entity, being qualitatively spirit soul, have a tendency for peaceful enjoyment. But when the part of the Supreme Personality unfortunately wants to enjoy independently without Krishna, he is put in the material world. He begins his life as Brahma and is gradually degraded to the status of an ant or a worm in stool. So we all know the story of Indra, cursed to become a pig. He actually started forgetting he was an Indra, or lost at the beginning of his transition. And when demigod said, it's time to go back, you know, he didn't want to go. So this is, they did a survey with, or whatever, not a survey, an experiment with a place where you can heat up the water. And there was mild temperature, like room temperature. It started with, they put a whole bunch of frogs in it. And the frogs can jump out at any moment. What they did is they gradually turned up the temperature. And they could jump out anytime, no problem. And they actually boiled to death. So this is actually gives hints as to the situation of how Maya works. Even if you're in the hellish planets of getting raked up and down these palm trees, chased, have to run for miles while getting ripped to pieces by dogs, and on and on and on, boiled in hot water, on and on and on and on. Even then, the living entity thinks it's not that bad. This is one of those situations of Maya, just like Indra did, thought it wasn't that bad, it's not that bad. I'll just stay here as a pig living in stool. You know. Anyway, this is called, there's a great struggle for existence. One time my temple president, Dasrath Prabhu, a very wonderful soul, we were building a temple in Hawaii, and we went to one of the topmost beaches in the world, top 10. We had to sneak on it. Anyway, I was just at Bhakta. And he goes, don't think like this is a place for enjoyment, because we're doing a japa walk. You know. And he says, just if you go 2 feet underneath this water, pointing at the ocean, he says, it's just one living entity eating another living entity. That's it. I was reading up there, you know, we usually read outside, and I saw a whole bunch of ants devouring a caterpillar. I saw one of those gecko lizards eat a caterpillar. And then a bird came and ate the lizard. And I thought, man, this world is a really tough place, you know? Prabhupada says if you're not surrendered to Krishna, you have one of two roles to play. I eat you or you eat me. To be cheated or to cheat. And you know, by playing this role of cheating, how long is it going to last? Even the great kings, you know, as they explain, they have amazing material power, but still they say they're like a puppet, you know, in the hands of their queens, of his queens. so cheated in so many ways, and guaranteed Maya will cheat you. It's an axiomatic fact. It's just what comes along. It's just like, if you touch fire, you're going to get burned. It's as simple as that. There's no way around it. Axiomatic truths like 2 + 2 = 4. So, you know, whatever. I don't forget my geometry. Anyway, so this is important to recognize that we're guaranteed to be cheated by Maya. I was going to say something else, but I forgot. I'll keep reading. he is not independent, but still he thinks he's independent. He's actually under the full control of material nature, but still he thinks himself independent. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of material energy, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the modes of nature. So this is a byproduct of ignorance, what comes along with choosing to play the role of Krishna. And everybody, you know, in the material dimension, well, maybe not everybody, but almost everybody is trying to play the role as well, so things aren't working out. Because of his limited knowledge, however, the living entity thinks he's enjoying in this material world. All right, 13:22 Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, the living entity and material nature wandering in this material world, enjoying the three modes of material nature, and this is due to his association with that material nature, thus he meets with good and evil in various species. So the word enjoying there should be in parentheses, of course. What enjoyment is here? You know, the only real enjoyment is here is advancing in Krishna consciousness. I was, you know, came into here, saw the deities, and boom! You know, what pleasure, what happiness. That's real enjoyment. I thought, thank you, Krishna, for being here. You know, it's so kind of him. He doesn't have to be here. But he did. He did that. Like we read here earlier. You know, he manifests through and to stop, out of his compassion, to stop living in his birth and death. So here he is. He's also come in the form of, you know, Vyasadeva to give us this knowledge, sent Prabhupada to give us, a good effective dose for us, or the proper, you know, the most maximum palatable, digestible form of it for us. And so many things. He comes down himself and performs these amazing pastimes. I'm going through a little bit of a challenging time, but, you know, I'm still blissful. I read the Krishna book or whatever, and instantly reading Krishna book, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm blissful. I'm like, all the problems just dissolve, all becomes superfluous. And I just go, wow, this is really, really, really making me happy. Right? So, in this way, the conditioned soul undergoes a great struggle for existence in this material world. And therefore, the Lord, out of compassion for him, appears in this world and instructs him. Right? He'll give the knowledge. We might say, well, why isn't Krishna appearing in my room instructing me? But he is appearing in your room and instructing you. Here he is. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are non-different from him. He has appeared. He gave what we need to hear to Arjuna and Maharaj Pariksit. And all we have to do is crack it open and get those very instructions that we need to perfect it, to exit this material dimension. And he empowers living entities to develop amazing facilities as such. He empowers administrative personalities to make sure that things are going nicely so that others can access this, where classes can be held on this. If we just take a moment to think of the unlimited compassion and mercy of the Lord, one naturally wants to reciprocate appropriately with his extension of himself. I was driving down the road in America. I've done a lot of bad things before love came to town. I just think that was B.B. King's song. And people are doing, you know, everything bad pretty much. I mean, it's really bad. Yet I'm driving down the road and I see these flowers on the highway. You know, nobody put them there. They were just growing naturally. Flowers. And I don't know if you've ever been in jail. I mean, you go on a sankirtan enough in America, sometimes they put you in there. I've only been there once. But it's all gray. It's miserable. And here, I've done that. What I did there wasn't really bad in comparison to what I've done to Krishna in 20 crores of lifetimes. And he's still giving me flowers and all these living entities flowers to look at, you know, to make it pleasant here for us. But it's all designed not for pleasure to get carried away, especially earth, but it's set up so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So, just sharing some of Krishna's glories here and his unlimited evidence for his unlimited compassion. Whenever there's a decline in religious principles, you know, he appears, he descends. And he's descending in a half a billion deities on earth. Half a billion. That's no joke. You know, he's empowered all. Was I distributing those books? I mean, I knew them all, of course. But did I distribute any of those? Brigapati says, you know, actually I didn't distribute any of these books. I agree. I didn't distribute any of these books. They just kind of fly out. You know? Krishna wanted those books distributed, and he wants more of them distributed. I had an experience with Prabhupada I'll call it a dream or whatever, where, maybe I'll share this with you, I don't know if you've heard it before. I was kind of new, but I was fired up to distribute books, and I was traveling alone, so I was really exhausted. And we all got together, different temples got together to do this big preaching book distribution event. And I was so tired, and we're about to like really blitz it. So I just lie down for about 5 minutes. It's about 5 minutes, just to get a quick snap nap. And I instantly go out, and there's Prabhupada on the Vyasa song. And I have affection, I just touched him. I knew it was a Murti. So I just touched, you know, have affection, touched his shoulder. And all of a sudden the Murti came to life. And he goes, yes. I said, oh, nothing Prabhupada, and I started to run away. But then I thought, wow, I have the chance to ask Prabhupada, see what he wants me to do. So I said, Prabhupada, how may I serve you? And he goes, and all of a sudden there's like people walking in the room. And or like I'm at an airport or something. And he goes, could you please stop someone so I can preach to them? So I try, but back then I wasn't good at stopping moving people. So I said, Prabhupada, is it okay if we go where somebody's sitting down and I can be more? And he goes, yes. And we start walking together. It felt so cool. And then I finally found a guy who's sitting down. And I start to approach him and he goes, hey, do you have that book, Science of Self-Realization? I'm like, yeah. And we did a money exchange, and Prabhupada was right there. And he goes, he's right here. And I just focus on the guy for a moment and just say, you know, there's a spiritual master here that's like super awesome, and he just wants to spend some time with you. Is that okay? He wants to share this knowledge with you. Is that okay? And the guy looks up at me like, you don't get it, man. And he just starts reading his book. And then I thought, well, that's a weird response. And then I go to look at Prabhupada, because I figured he'd be disappointed. And Prabhupada's gone. I mean, he's nowhere to be seen in a second. And then I realized, Prabhupada's in his books. Prabhupada said that, I'm in my books. And Prabhupada he's asked me to distribute his books, to stop people so that he can preach to them. That this was his request to me. I mean, I'm running with it. It aligns as a reality, something that happened on some plane. people can call it a weird dream that I imagined. That's all fine. But it's all lined up with Prabhupada's teachings and writings. And the point is that Prabhupada also is appeared for, has descended to, so that we also, to solve this irreligion problem that's gone really bad. And it's our duty to make the unfortunate fortunate. It's the duty of the fortunate to make the unfortunate fortunate. Right? So, and there's a little section here, I have to leave it nine, so I'm going to leave room for questions, but real quick section in here about atheistic people say that this all has happened by chance. Prabhupada mentions that chance means, when you think something happened by chance, it means you don't know. It means you're ignorant of the subject. To say that bullock cart just happened to be there by chance, and the milk on this thing, I'm saying I'm ignorant of the subject and I just don't know. Somebody in knowledge of the situation knows that some person, devotee, brought the bullock cart, put the milk up there, and so forth and so on. So just making that comment, there actually isn't that much percentage of atheists in America. They did a poll, at least according to this poll, but many of these atheists have attained very top positions, like what goes into the textbooks, things of this nature. And I'll just leave with the last nice paragraph here. Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Actually, however, the fact is that there is a purpose for the creation to give the conditioned soul a chance to return to his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and return back home to Godhead and be completely happy in the spiritual world. One must stop the repetition of birth and death. Every human being, therefore, should take advantage of this creation by understanding Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, and in this way return home back to Godhead. I hope this was pleasing to the authorities and all you wonderful Vaishnavas. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your stories. Sankirtan was definitely a larger kind of secret weapon Srila Prabhupada picked up, obviously being a representative of the Supreme Lord. So the mood of all the devotees in the temple generally should be for the preaching mission. Because the preaching mission keeps one enthusiastic to read the books, attend the morning program, chant the rounds. So they actually have the strength to go out and clearly and enthusiastically represent their spiritual master by giving out this knowledge. Because Krishna ultimately says, he orders everyone, that you should spread this knowledge among the people everywhere. It's actually, he's ordering everybody. It's everybody's responsibility. So that sanctan spirit and that enthusiasm to actually do some preaching or do your service in such a way as to attract others to Krishna consciousness is really what will help us get free from the bodily concept. Because it seems like every day we're reading, we're not the body, the spirit, soul, the minds and mind, the senses are talking along, but still we give into it. When will we realize that understanding that we're not the body, we're just the body. We know that we're hearing that by pursuing gratification or happiness, we're going to suffer, but still we do it. Why?
Are you asking me why?
I'm asking you why. Okay. Why is it some people take the message more seriously than others, although we hear it, we don't apply it?
Well, I'll speak for myself. I have experienced that this world gives no pleasure. I've had that experience, and I have sought knowledge greatly, and finally got a hold of Prabhupada's books. That clears it all up perfectly. And as it states in the Gita, the greatest, well, Bhagavatam, greatest achievement in life is this knowledge, the highest achievement in life. So I recognize that. Why I recognize it, maybe others don't take it so seriously. Maybe I can finish my story trying to do it from the heart so I can discover something. But I find that the first thing I did when I joined is I made sure I read all of Prabhupada's books so that I know what's going on. I don't want to be in the dark. It's a very uncomfortable situation. So, but then I found even applying it, I mean, my conclusion was is I need to share this knowledge. My authorities were encouraging me to do that as well, very nicely. So that's what I devoted my life to, distributing the Prabhupada's books. So many ways, though, to share the knowledge. Maintain the temple is sharing knowledge. And deity worship is kirtan. But I found myself, if I didn't take the time to regularly read the books, Prabhupada says you should read at least 1 hour a day of his books. If I didn't actually do that, I would find my mind considering this like fruit of activity. I'd forget the importance. Maybe not so much the importance, but a little bit, definitely. But even more so, I would forget the emergency of the situation. Like Prabhupada had an emergency mode. When he spoke to me in that dream, it was a cry. Can you please stop somebody so I can preach to them? It was a primal cry. That primal feeling, I think, awakens and stays that way as we read Prabhupada's books and can regularly read Prabhupada's books. We're reminded of the emergency of the situation. Otherwise, we can get lost in a position, a this or that. I am one big book distributor. Anyway, I'll leave that out. But just, we can get lost in forgetting what it's really all about when we're not constantly fed, like I mentioned earlier, that we've been here crores of lifetimes. So this samskara, this pattern, is strong in us. So by regularly taking time to read Prabhupada's books, and the other thing that helped me a lot by studying Prabhupada's books, I'm not just sharing this because of the situation, it's a strong, strong theme of me. You can ask anybody that travels with me, it's a very powerful theme, that one must be a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord. One must be a servant of the Guru. Alright, we know yasya para anyway, Svetasarapanishad 6:23. If one has, I mean, we all want to have the maximum benefit for the least amount of effort. Prabhupada says the most important verse amidst all this knowledge is one who has complete faith in the spiritual master in Krishna, all the purports of the Vedas are revealed automatically. So, I mean, to the degree that we put that faith, you can close your eyes and hit that golf ball, and it'll be a hole in one every time. But if you have your eyes wide open and you don't have that implicit faith, no matter how hard you try, that ball is going to go into the pond, depending on how bad your faith is. Or bad, I should say, depending on how full faith, implicit faith you have, you know, it will be a hole in one or otherwise. So, and maintaining that. But we're conditioned to change that rudder of our ship to go some weird direction, so to always, always have control of that rudder. Intelligence has to be properly situated. So by reading regularly, our intelligence has what it needs in order to control that rudder. But I would like to add another thing is this certainly doesn't apply to me, but it does state here and there that after
Bhagavad Gita 7:28, right? Tu taiva katam papam jananam jnanam avyam tedvanvo nirmukta nirmukta mam bhajante mam dudavataha. One who has acted piously in this life and in previous lifetimes, that element there, and as it completely eradicated, as sinful activities are completely eradicated, one becomes free of the bondage of illusion, one becomes free from material illusion, and engages in my devotional service with determination. So that pious activities, and of course this doesn't mean material, it's kind of maybe too lengthy of an explanation, I'll just leave it at that. Is that okay? Can you share though? You're obviously more realized than I am. Maybe you could fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I've been in jail several times from sankirtan.
Okay.
We travel around, and obviously materialistic people feel that you're not abiding by the rules and regulations of the arrested devotees. But like you said, the mood, the urgency, the enthusiasm. If somebody wants to achieve anything in this world, they have to be enthusiastic, determined, and practice. So that practice means regularly reading your Prabhupada's books, because Maya is ready to capture at any moment. And so if we keep in good association, enthusiastically read Prabhupada's books, like you said, you'll have stronger intelligence to move forward in a positive way. But being humble and surrendering to a guru, without that, that's our basic disease. We're thinking that we're the doers, we're the Ishvaras, and why should I surrender to him? This person or that person, and I might get cheated. That whole mentality is always there, fearful that someone may cheat us. But Prabhupada is love and worship around the world. We get to see the actual real love, real knowledge, and it's not based on sentiment, it's based on logic, reason, and philosophy. So, it's beautiful.
Thank you for tolerating me. Yes, Bru? I have to leave in 1.5 minutes, though, I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, aside from Prabhupada books, if you read between Acharya's books, is okay? Or even disciples' books, maybe?
There's some authorities that feel one way and others that think another way. So, since my authority is more on one way, I can't really comment on that so well. But I can say that Prabhupada writes many times about particular books that have nice content in it, in his books. And even within our literature, our songs, we have, statements encouraging that. So I can't comment beyond that, considering I'm trying to be a faithful follower of my authorities. Is that okay? All right, Krishna. But I can say, if one is in a neophyte situation and taps into that, and I've seen a lot of deviations. So best to do it on consultation of your authorities, in my opinion, at least if you're kind of new. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for tolerating me. Truly wish you all the best. Wonderful to be here. I hope you all can bless me so I can stay here. Not forever. I want to preach.
Forever.
Well, in Vrindavan forever, yeah. But, thank you. Please forgive me my offenses. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, go premanandi, hadi hadi.